Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry, my special guest in studio. We haven't had you for a while, and that's my problem, is Tracy Krause. She's the executive director for the Worcester Chamber Music Society and the flute for the Worcester Chamber Music Society. Tracy, welcome back.
Thank you,
After
Mark.
Too long a stay away.
It has been.
And I'm glad you came back. But because it's been so long, and because the Worcester Chamber Music Society has been around for now a while, let's take it back to the beginning. You've been around since 2006.
Yes, we have. Okay, back in time. We're going into our 13th season. And back in 2006, I was on the faculty of Clark University along with Peter Salsky. And he had just come back to the U.S. from a stint in London, where he was with the London Symphony for a while.
Wow.
And we were in the faculty of Clark, and we played a faculty concert together, and we started talking about...
Was it just
about,
the two of you?
There were a couple other people on the concert, but we started to talk about forming a chamber music group. There was really not much going on in Worcester at that time. This was back in 2006. Huh. And after that concert, Peter cornered me at the reception. He said, "We have to do this. We have to make this happen." And that's how we got started.
That sounds like all too simple.
It was.
I mean, that's like, it sounds like a garage band getting together.
Well, that's kind of how it felt.
Who else did you immediately, like, first of all, what did you need immediately for people and for instruments?
Well, first we needed other musicians to form a group. So we decided from the beginning that we wanted to go with local musicians who had some sort of following in the city so that we would have a built-in audience, right? So we invited Maria Ferrante, who had a great following, and William Ness, who had a wonderful following at the First Baptist Church.
When you're talking about these people, and you're just going up and asking them, "Would you like to be in a chamber music group?" Mm-hmm. What's their reaction?
Yes. it was yes.
Nobody thought
sounds
about
great.
It. Like
nobody thought about it. Everybody we asked said, "Yeah, absolutely, this sounds great." And that's because chamber
you live a
music.
Charmed life.
Well, chamber music is a kind of a performance experience that musicians aspire to. You're not being directed by some person with a stick in the front, right? And it's in a lot of ways it's more fun than playing solo because you're a team, but you're a small team, and everybody has an equal say. For the most part. So it really is the kind of performance opportunity that musicians aspire to.
Yeah, don't take this the wrong way, because I mean this in a high compliment, but to me, you guys always remind me of a rock band in the sense that you get together and you decide you're going to play out in different places, and that's exactly what you do.
Yeah, and it's a compliment. It is a compliment.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems a lot more organic.
It is, absolutely. And everything about the organization feels very organic, and it's growth and how we choose our repertoire and the musicians that we invite in. And, you know, it really feels like it's very collegiate. It really feels like a team, and there isn't a diva in the group. We all have an equal say.
Do you have to make that as a sort of a point at the beginning, like, before you enter this group, you will not be diva-ing, and please sign this piece of paper?
No, not quite that complex. Usually we don't invite people to join the group unless they've been invited to play as a guest, and we play with them a couple times, and we get the, you know, do they have the right vibe? Are they a team player? You know.
Is there a maximum number of members that you would want?
There isn't a max, but we try to keep it contained. And that way we can invite a lot of guest artists to come in, which actually fill out the ensemble, makes
that's
the group
nice.
More exciting. It makes it more appealing to the audience.
Well, that's one of the things I've always loved about it is you do invite other artists in, and you've had some incredible artists over the years, some of whom I'm still in touch with.
Oh.
J.P. Joffrey.
Oh, J.P. is doing amazing things.
Oh, no kidding. He's like tours the world.
He does. Yeah. And he just wrote a concerto for a bandoneon and a violin. Yeah. And yeah, he's doing great things.
But you were able to invite, and for people who don't know who J.P. Joffrey is, you should talk about that.
But J.P. Joffrey is now a world-renowned bandoneon player. And a bandoneon is like an accordion, essentially. And
it's Argentinian.
He's Argentinian, and he's a great musician and really accessible. And just
talk about your rock stars. He's a rock star now.
He is now, yeah.
He is now. Yeah. When you brought him down, I remember I was just – my socks were knocked off by, first of all, by his playing was just – beyond anything. But that's one of the things that you can do as the Worcester yeah. Chamber Music Society, is that you get to invite these musicians and play with them for a little bit.
Yeah. The other musician that we brought on recently was, as a result of being a guest through Music Worcester, was is Randall Hodgkinson. Randy is a world-renowned concert pianist. He's oh, wow. wonderful, really, really high level, a phenomenal musician, and just a great team player, and one of my favorite humans. He just really is so
That's really nice.
Lovely. We played with him at a concert that Music Worcester put together, and then he guested with us one more time. And at that time, we ended up having an opening for a pianist, and basically the entire group said, "You've got to invite Randy." And he was all in, and it's just been wonderful to have that really high level of playing as a part of the team.
Now, from the get-go, and from the first time you've been down here, one of the things, of the other things of many that I've appreciated besides the music, is that you've really made an effort at outreach in the community,
yes.
and that's been outstanding. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that. That seems to have been a mission from the beginning.
From the very beginning, we see ourselves as here for the Worcester community. And it's not just for our classical music going audiences, but it's for the community. And most especially, it's about arts education. And it's for, in particular, underserved youth, or what we like to know call at-risk youth. These are kids who, it's a scary experience just to walk the streets every day with what they face, and they have very little opportunity. So we have two education programs.
I want to talk about those.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Chamberfest?
The Chamberfest is our camp.
And when I first heard about this, I thought, like, how could this possibly work? And it's for all ages.
It's for all ages, yeah. So
even adults.
The camp started prior to Worcester Chamber Music Society. It was the QX String Quartet, which was Peter Salsky, Krista Buckland-Reisner, Rohan Gregory, and Jan Mueller-Schwarz.
Okay.
They were the QX Quartet, and they started the camp. And then asked us when we formed and became an organization and had more capacity than they did to take it on under our umbrella. So we did. And so it's gone through a few name reiterations. It was called the Thayer Festival for a while. And
after the Thayer Conservatory.
Right. And then we called it the Worcester Chamber Music Society Summer Festival, which was too hard to say.
No.
Right. So now it's Chamberfest.
Good choice for a name.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what happens in there, because it sounds pretty cool.
It's great. It's a two-week, there are 2 one-week sessions, and it's for all ages. The youngest that we take it at this point is age 12 through adult. And the kids and the adults, they are put into mixed ensembles based on ability, not grouped by age. So adults are playing with kids. Each participant wow. plays in two ensembles, some of them three, every day, plus additional activities. There's various workshops like conducting and improvisation. We have African drumming. We have Crocodile River music
right.
that comes. And there's, of course, regular camp things like frisbee and swimming and things like that.
I know that whether you go over yeah. that, but it's really funny yeah. to read that there's like a barbecue, there's
yeah,
like
right.
sports.
Yeah, right, because it's camp. It's camp, right? We do it at Clark University. We have a wonderful
nice.
Facility at Clark. We have an overnight component, and we have the air-conditioned dorms, which is really
oh,
great.
Oh, man, sweet.
Yeah,
okay.
right. Half the campers just come for the day, and the other half come for the overnight.
How many people usually show up?
So we're full at about 32 per week. Last year, we were like in the mid-20s.
Nice.
Yeah, a few years ago, we were full, and then some of the kids aged out, so we're building that back up. And then there are...
Is there a final experience where...
Yeah, so there are two faculty concerts, one each week, that the kids all get to come to.
Okay.
And then every Friday, the end of each week, the kids
wow.
play. Yeah. So,
do you have repeat?
Absolutely, a lot of our campers.
This sounds to me is the kind of thing that you mm-hmm. keep coming back because
right.
you're learning a lot more. What an amazing yeah. experience to spend an entire week,
yeah.
with a chamber music orchestra.
Yeah, yeah, they have a great time, and of course, I'm never there in the summer, so I actually haven't experienced it firsthand.
Nice, but it sounds like it's incredible.
Yeah, no, it is, and we all do offer quite a bit of scholarship. And new this year, we. Added a neighborhood strings component, and we'll talk about neighborhood strings in a minute, but now we have the neighborhood strings coming for a session in the afternoon so that the campers get to interact with the neighborhood strings kids, which they've been asking to do. So it's a wonderful opportunity for the camp participants, to feel like,
yep.
they're making a difference. difference in the lives of these other kids.
Okay, the Neighborhood Strings, because you promised you would talk about
Neighborhood
that.
Strings. So we are in our seventh year of Neighborhood Strings.
And so is this run by the
Worcester? It's run by the Worcester Chamber Music Society. Okay. Ariana Falk is our education director. She manages both camp and Neighborhood Strings. Peter Salsky works alongside Ariana to run the program, and we have another program manager that we added this year, Debbie Greenbaum, who runs two of our sites. So we serve kids that live in the main south and downtown areas and neighborhoods, as well as the Clark Street area and Clark Street School, and I'll talk about that in a second. So we started with the Woodland Street site, and essentially the kids come 2 to 3 times a week. The program runs 3 to 4 days a week. Each kid gets a private lesson in addition to ensemble. So we have what we call all play day or orchestra happens twice a week now. That's new this year. And there are other smaller ensemble opportunities as well as workshops. We also have a teen club where our kids meet on Fridays after all play day, and they play higher level chamber music. They do community service projects. And they have discussions about social justice and what it means to be a musician and to give back to the community. So, and then we added a question mark.
No, that just sort of seems like an extraordinary program of itself.
Yeah. We added a third site this year at the Clark Street School, serving their new citizens, the new refugee kids that have come to the city in their new citizens program. So those kids we see, they're 17. Half of them don't speak English, and we're meeting with them twice a week for 2 hours at a time, and as a group to start. And Debbie Greenbaum is running that site.
Which what an incredible program!
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds ideal.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot to take on.
I was going to say, like, just running the Chamber Music Society sort of seems like a lot, but you guys are doing so much more.
Well, I am not hands-on in Neighborhood Strings. It would be Ariana, Peter, Debbie. Rohan is one of our teachers, and we have a couple more teachers.
Many of those people have been down.
I raise the money for the program. I come on shows like yours to talk about the program, and I visit the program and interact with the kids in that way. But I play flute, so I can't teach violin. And that's fine. The other thing that we have as part of the program that helps us manage the program are our mentors, and that's a key component of the program. We have anywhere between 12 and 20 mentors, depending on the year, college and high school kids that come to work with us on a weekly basis. Most of them from Clark University.
Do they have to be people who are proficient at an instrument?
Most of them are.
Okay.
Yeah. There are some that are not. And as a matter of fact, we have been co-teaching a class at Clark University called Music, Community, and Social Action. And those kids, they are in the course for, it's a 6-hour, they have a 3-hour classroom session, and then they mentor with us for 6 hours a week.
Amazing.
It's wonderful. And some of those kids don't play instruments, but that's fine. And then we also have campers, as I said, in Chamberfest, who have asked to be involved. So we created a formalized mentorship program called Musician as Citizen.
So they go to the camp and they've had a great experience, but they want to keep it going for the rest of the year.
Right. So they have to apply and write an essay as to why they want to give back to the community and so on. And then we have, I think, 2 or 3 this year. And it's more formalized. They get to meet with Ariana periodically to touch base with her, and they keep like a reflective log. And they get, you know, if they need community service hours for their school, which a lot of high schools are requiring, they certainly get those. So we have all these different levels of mentorship throughout the program, which makes it's a key. It really helps to manage the program.
It sounds incredible. Yeah. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Tracy Krause, Executive Director for the Worcester Chamber Music Society, or the WCMS.
There you go.
And she's also the flute player, a flute player. Is it flautist?
You can say either. Personally, I play the flute, so I'm a flutist.
You don't like to say that? Okay, I want to know that.
Personally. Flautist comes from the flauto transverso, which is what the flute was originally called back in Europe in the day. Back in the day.
And that's the same kind of instrument?
Yes.
Okay, the exact same.
And that's where the word comes from.
So nobody really says flautist anymore?
Very many people do. It's my personal preference, and whatever you want to say is fine. I play the flute.
So all you say is it's not a stringed instrument.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, I got to talk about you guys playing out. I mean, we were talking about all the incredible programs you do, but you also obviously play out as a group. Now you do you have a lot of interesting concerts coming up. There's the community series.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
So our community concerts involve our free family concert, our Music on Main series, and in most years we do a free senior concert at the end of the season. Our family concert we've been doing for the last 6 or 7 years, free family concert at Mechanics Hall. Yes. Next year it's in March 3rd, and it's a great community event. So it's a one-hour show, but it's super involved. So we have... usually a piece that is appealing. So last year we did Peter and the Wolf. And we've done Carnival of the Animals. This next March we're doing a piece by John Deak, a composer, bass player out of New York, called Lucy and the Count, which is the Count Dracula story about his love for
I was reading about this. There was vampires and crocodiles.
Right.
And that's the other thing I love about your programming is it's always got some kind of weird title.
Yeah. I'll tell you how that works in a second.
Okay. So it's about Lucy and Count Dracula?
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, Crocodile River Music is joining us with his concert. So there's the crocodile. So vampires and crocodiles. So, yeah, that was pretty – that was a no-brainer title.
So is it a dark piece about Dracula?
No, it's actually not. It's
very romantic?
Kind of very romantic and funny because he writes for kids. So this is for a kid's concert. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be joined by Crocodile River Music, and we're going to be playing a piece by composer Derek Jordan, who wrote a piece for us and Crocodile River together. So it's with classical strings, flute, and West African ensemble. So it's really fun, called Bamako Beyond.
That sounds amazing. Have you performed
live
with that?
We did it once. We did this piece
last
year.
Because that sort of seems like it could be a tough mesh of styles, but it works?
It really does work. Yeah, it's a really fun piece to do. We did it last year at one of our other concerts on our community series called Music on Main.
Yep.
And this is a series that we do that brings together our Neighborhood Strings community and our regular patrons. So we started called Music on Main because we were doing it at the Straight Up Cafe on Main Street, but I think now it's closed. So we've moved it to the Worcester Pop-Up. But the Neighborhood Strings kids play, they're the orchestra, and then we will play some classical music, and we often will invite a guest from the community. So we've had Carlos Odria come, the Peruvian guitarist who plays out everywhere here in Worcester, is phenomenal. We've had Jose Castillo come. And so November 16th, we will have Rohan Gregory's band, Revma, and it's a Greek folk band. So they're coming to play. And it's free. It's open to the public. It's chaotic and messy and noisy and
different
fun.
Kinds of instruments?
Yes. Don't ask me what they are.
That's going to be my next question. But it's traditional Greek instruments?
Yes, traditional Greek instruments. Yep.
Is there going to be Greek dancing?
If there's room, I don't know. It's at the pop-up. It's not that big.
How do you – okay. Yeah. As the Worcester Chamber Music Society, how do you – you must rehearse, right? So, I mean, you don't just like meet and jam. You must have to figure this out beforehand.
Well, so this one, the professional, the WCMSers, as I like to call them, will not be playing. This will be Rohan's band playing. And they rehearse. They play out all the time.
Yeah. But you know, like when you're working on something with the crocodile.
Yeah, we rehearse. So for basically our model is for every piece that we do, we've got about 6 hours of rehearsal. That's more or less. So, yeah.
You're one serious group. Talk to me about the Christmas Concerto. And that's at the Worcester Historical Museum.
Yes, it is. So that is our annual Baroque concert that we do.
Nice.
That's because there's such a love of Baroque music in this town. And we've been doing this concert at Worcester Historical Museum for a number of years. It's a beautiful venue. It brings new audiences to the museum, which we really love to do. And Bill Wallace is so generous with his venue and his time, and it's fun. So we'll be with two guests, Louisa Stonehill, who's a British violinist who is living up in New Hampshire, a beautiful player, and Andres Madsen, who is our harpsichordist.
Beautiful.
We call him a frequent flyer because he guest artists with us so many times. So,
is there some kind of interconnection between chamber music societies and other cities so that you sort of trade off?
Well, there's a membership.
You're talking about like people coming in for this. Do you then also your members go out to other concerts elsewhere?
That doesn't happen as much as we would like it to happen, but that's not because nobody's interested.
It's I think it's just not many chamber music.
No, I just think, you know, if I took the time to reach out and make something happen, it might. But we have a lot on our plate.
You think?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, so it's something that we would certainly consider with another chamber music society. But then again, you also have to think about funding and the size of your concert, and it there's a lot of personalities and, you know, other things that are involved with that. So
now you've got another in January.
Yes.
You have a cafe concert.
Right.
So at Nuevo.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful venue.
So our cafe series is super popular. It's been selling out for the last several years.
Okay.
And we have three a year. This year we added a second show to our first one. And so it comes with either we're doing a, or in October we did a brunch concert. And then we ran it out as a dinner concert. In January, it'll be a dinner concert. And then in May at the New Arts Worcester Gallery, when they open here on Portland Street, it'll be a dessert concert. So you come for the meal, and then you stay for a one-hour interactive, engaging concert.
This one's called String Theory?
Yes.
And I bet you don't know anything about the physics of that.
I don't.
Okay. But it was a brilliant idea to name it that.
It's a string-heavy program. I'm not on it. There's no wins. So.
No wins whatsoever?
Which is nice. I get a break. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you about that. Do you try to break up your venues so that everybody gets featured in equal amount of time?
That is one reason why we don't want to grow the core too large. So everyone does.
Because if that was true, then it would just be mind-bogglingly strange.
Yeah, everyone does pretty much get an equal amount of time. Okay. And it's not that we try to, you know, look at the chart and make sure so-and-so has. Yep. It's really, we create our programs through our artistic collaborative. We meet three times a year. And, you know, in the beginning, we have one coming up in November, we start talking about our dream pieces, you know, what would we like to play? And that's where we start. Everyone brings all this music and we start just throwing out ideas, and it's a lot of chatter and wine and food. And then we kind of siphon down and sift it out.
Wait a minute, not so fast, because I always want to get to the bottom of the real story. Do people like throw out something they really want to play, and do other people have to go, are you kidding me?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Okay, all right. That's what I wanted to know.
Happens, yeah. Although, you know, the musicians in the group.
Are you crazy?
Well, and usually it's because it's either a piece that would take twice amount of rehearsal, which we wouldn't be able to afford, or it would require twice as number of musicians, which we wouldn't be able to afford. So usually when a piece gets thrown out like that, it's because we just can't do it in our budget. But then something comes along like Music Worcester offering us the opportunity to play Appalachian Spring next week, which was on our bucket list that we wouldn't be able to afford on our own. So you never know.
That's nice.
You never know. Yeah. So anyway, so we sift through and we kind of whittle it down, and things start to pop up and sparkle through that have a theme. And that's kind of how we create the programs.
It sounds like it's very important that the members have been around for a long time. So, you know, you basically know where everybody's coming from.
I don't know that that's super important. I think what's important is that everyone is open to ideas,
and
everyone's listening to each other, and that keeping in mind we're a team, and this isn't about featuring one person over another. The only hard and fast rule, and everybody else, if they were here, would laugh when I say this, is that there has to be a flute piece on every concert. Unless I say I don't want to play a concert. That's the only hard rule.
You have to be there.
I have to be on at least, yeah. So, okay. And it's really kind of a joke. Yeah. And, well, because it's not like this is a high paying job. I need to get something out of it, right? So I want to play. So, yeah.
You know, something I don't think I've ever asked anybody from the Worcester Chamber Music Society, and I'm going to ask you, is there a definition of a chamber music group? Like, what's the technical definition of a chamber music orchestra?
Chamber music ensemble and a chamber orchestra are two different things.
Okay.
A chamber orchestra is really a small orchestra that's conductorless, right?
Okay.
Like a far cry.
But does it always have certain elements?
Generally, chamber orchestras are predominantly strings with single winds. Right. And then they bring in guests as they need to fill out the repertoire. But what it really means is it's conductorless. Chamber, it's conductor. There's not a leader at the head waving his or her stick. That's really what chamber music is. That it's equal voices, that we all have an equal say.
It sounds really idealistic. Like, have you played in orchestras where there are conductors?
Of course. Oh, yes.
the experience must be totally different.
It's very different. It's night and day. And not to say, I mean, I love playing orchestra.
Okay.
But generally the musicians, especially the string players, don't have a say as to how things get played. The winds, especially the solo winds, have a little more flexibility because their voice is solo generally in orchestra. Yep. So oftentimes a conductor will say, you know, how would you like to do this? Or I'll leave it to you if it's a nice conductor. You know.
Well, that's the other thing. You've got this personality that's organizing the whole thing that you either like or dislike.
That's right.
Or everything in between.
Yeah. I think there's a lot more job satisfaction for musicians that strictly play chamber music as opposed to orchestra.
I totally see that from talking to you today.
Yeah.
What's the website? And I have to say the website is beautifully done.
Thank you very much.
And so what's the website? Because we've been given a ton of information today.
Yeah. It's Worcester Chamber Music.
One word.
One word. .org.
And I recommend going. It works. The website works. There's a lot of drop-down menus. All the information is there. For most of these concerts, people can just show up, right?
For most of them, yes. The cafe concerts sell out, so I do recommend people reserve in advance.
That's an ideal experience to have. Like,
it's really fun. It's very intimate. And that's the other definition of chamber music. It's designed to be played in a small chamber. It's the intimacy.
As opposed to the big performance halls.
Right. For example, that's why when we play at Mechanics Hall, very often we'll create an intimate setting on the floor of Mechanics Hall as opposed to playing on the stage. We just did this in September. So we sat on the floor and we seated everybody very close around the musicians. So it felt like an intimate space.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to have you back. And I'm really looking forward to Vampires and Crocodiles because I'm that kind of a kid. But I want to see one of your cafe concerts too because that's an ideal situation.
It's a lot of fun. We'd love to have you, Mark.
Tracy, it's been great. I'm glad you've come back down. My guest tonight has been Tracy Krause, Executive Director of the Worcester Chamber Music Society, a very hardworking music society. She's also a flute player. I won't say flautist. In the society, which is why there's always a flute piece. And please go to the website, which is, again?
WorcesterChamberMusic.org.
Thank you. Tracy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.